This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
My buddy Rick Britton joins me live in studio, celebrated an award-winning local author, historian, cartographer extraordinaire, online at rickbritton.com. And you were the one that brought us the news of this traffic out there on the 250 bypass traffic trying to get on 29 North.
Yeah, that's right. We, my wife and I, driving down to the studio, drove through it. And they were actually so backed up from 250 eastbound trying to get on to 29.
Back behind the Bodos.
Right. Yep. They were so backed up there that they were blocking the entrance ramp from 29 to get on to 250. And me personally, in all my years in Charlottesville, I had never seen that. So
a whole lot
backed up several hundred yards.
I wonder if it's like a Friday before Thanksgiving kind of thing. A lot of people might be taking next week off. And
where are they all going?
Getting on the road.
Who are these people and where are they going?
They're going to see Granny.
Is that it?
Wake up, Granny.
That's another week away.
Wake up, Granny. We're here. goodness. So, also Dave Matthews Band playing, I think, tonight and tomorrow night at the John Paul Jones Arena.
So I did not know that.
Expect some traffic for that as well to develop over the next few hours.
Holy cow. And they're coming in the other direction.
They'll be coming, a lot of people coming south for north and on 64. I imagine that's going to be very, very busy.
Maybe it's all the folks fleeing Charlottesville before the Dave Matthews folks come.
It could be. That would be a smart thing to do because it's going to be crowded.
Right.
I was over there this afternoon at the John Paul Jones Arena for an unrelated matter, but they were already there. One guy told me, he said, I've been here since 7 this morning working on getting ready for this. He was just an event staff guy.
Holy cow.
And that place is like Fort Knox, the John Paul Jones Arena, when they got a concert going on. Boy. I can't tell you how many, because I had to go to the athletics office. I can't tell you how many people looked at me and said, how'd you get in the building? I'm like, they let me in. I'm going to the office.
They didn't have a badge or something?
They said, I need to see some ID. What are you doing in the building? How did you get in here?
Wow.
It's a tight ship.
Wow.
They run a good program over there.
That's good.
So, Rick, we have spent the last few months.
Months.
Exploring the top 25 most significant battles in the U.S. Civil War.
Right.
That were fought in Virginia.
Right.
And I have to tell you, we've only got two left.
Right.
Right? Five Forks and Appomattox.
No, Sailor's Creek. We did Five Forks last week.
That's right.
Today is Sailor's Creek and then Appomattox. Right.
I have to tell you that I want to strongly recommend two things, that folks re-listen to these conversations. They're all available online, cvillepodcast.com.
Right.
And also, I think you're going to develop a class based on this series of conversations we've had.
That's right.
And I recommend people take that because I've seen the Ken Burns thing, but I have to tell you, this is the first time, I think, that I have really a clear picture of what happened battle-wise during the Civil War because of this. Because we just talked about what was going on in Virginia.
Well,
so nothing else got in the way, Gettysburg or Atlanta or anything like that. And it allowed me to really sort of see step by step what the Federals were trying, what the Union troops were trying to do successively each year, and what didn't work.
What didn't work, what didn't work, what didn't work, what didn't work, and then eventually what worked.
What finally worked was Grant's overland campaign to battle and then press forward, and keep moving those troops forward no matter what.
And wearing down the Confederate forces by attrition.
It's been fascinating. So
we've
watched Grant's overland campaign have some measure of real success beginning, 1863? And then into, 1864.
1864.
And then into 1865.
Right.
Then getting Lee cornered at Petersburg and Richmond. And then now we saw that Lee is breaking away and trying to get his troops away to rendezvous with some other Confederate forces.
That's right. And last week we talked about Five Forks, and that was April 1st, 1865, the Confederate debacle at Five Forks. And so with that loss and then an all-out assault that Grant ordered on April 2nd, the very next day. So see how smart he was. Okay, we've taken their right flank. We've taken the South Side Railroad. Now they must be stretched. So an all-out assault will break through somewhere, and it did.
Here's my question. If Grant's strategy obviously was the winning strategy for the North,
right?
Where did he learn this? Because there were a whole lot of generals that preceded him that were obviously experienced and smart guys, and they weren't timid or afraid, but they just had one after, they had the same strategy that wasn't working. Where did Grant learn this? What made him so special?
He was one of the most successful generals on either side in the Civil War, and he learned this stuff out west. I mean, when you think of the number of times he was able to force a surrender, he had a Confederate force of 30,000 that surrendered to him at Vicksburg on July 4th, 1863, so a year before the Overland Campaign really got underway. He had Confederate forces surrender to him at Fort Donelson in 1862. The guy just had this kind of determination to do it and to see it through. So he'd won a lot of victories out west. A lot of people would say he'd won victories out west against inferior Confederate commanders, and I would tend to agree with that. So a lot of people said, well, you know, he might have been successful out west, but now he's facing Robert E. Lee and the Army of Northern Virginia. So now we'll see, you know, what he can do. But it turned out he could do it here in the East, too.
And when you say out west, of course, you mean not fighting Native Americans. You mean fighting the Civil War against other Confederate troops.
In the Western theaters.
In the Western theater.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, right. Exactly. So, you know, the defeat on April 1st at Five Forks and then the all-out assault and the breakthrough that took place on April 2nd, Robert E. Lee had to finally send that note to his boss saying, I can't stay. We've got to get out. You have to abandon Richmond. And so the government, Jeff Davis and the Confederate government, had to leave Richmond, and they fled Danville. They made it to Danville. Danville became the last capital of the Confederacy. They actually set up headquarters out there. So everybody was hoping.
I never knew that.
Everybody was thinking that, you know, that Lee could get to the west, then take a left turn and get with Joseph E. Johnston somewhere in North Carolina or on the North Carolina-Virginia border. And with those forces concentrated, that might give them about 100,000. Then they could hopefully deal a deadly blow against Sherman in North Carolina and then maybe come back, you know, and take out Grant's army. Of course, that didn't happen. But one story that's really amazing to me is that Lincoln actually made it just a few days later into Richmond, and just accompanied by a few sailors and Marines. And when I say a few, I mean like a dozen. He actually walked from the landing at Rockets up to the White House of the Confederacy and sat down at Jeff Davis's desk. And that is a moment. A couple of times I've tried to sell a story about this, but it's really an amazing moment. He sits down at Jeff Davis's
desk. What's the point of Lincoln going down there? I mean, it was obviously dangerous,
right? He wanted to see the Capitol. Yeah, he said that, you know, he told somebody that they'd been trying to get it for 4 years. You know, he was kind of curious to see what it looked like. So he gets to Jeff Davis's desk, asks for a glass of water. A general brings him a glass of water, and the general asks, you know, now that it seems like the Confederacy is breaking up, what are you going to do with the southern states now that it seems like it's inevitable? Robert E. Lee is on the run. Who would have thunk it? Who would have thunk that the Army of Northern Virginia, Robert E. Lee, could be defeated and be on the run, right, from federal forces? And the answer is just fantastic. Abraham Lincoln said, I'll let them up easy, proving that he would have been conciliatory to the southern states. He often referred to them as the erring sister states. He would have been conciliatory, and a lot of people believe, I'm one of them, that if Abraham Lincoln had lived, the Reconstruction wouldn't have been as violent, wouldn't have been as nasty. The South wouldn't have been treated as conquered territory with occupying troops into the 1870s, and the country might have healed faster if Abraham Lincoln had survived the Civil War.
Although the presence of those troops often prevented...
That's true. That's true.
But you know, it made the safety of freed slaves possible in many places.
This is true. This is absolutely true. This is absolutely true. So it's an interesting point to argue. It's an interesting point to argue. So Lee and about 50,000 remaining troops from the Army of Northern Virginia, they're on the run to the west. They get to Amelia Courthouse. The first rendezvous was Amelia Courthouse, where they were supposed to be greeted by train cars, box cars loaded with foodstuffs for the Army. But there was some kind of clerical mistake, and the Army concentrates at Amelia Courthouse, and there's no food. So you can imagine these
guys.
And
how many guys is this that are on the run?
About 50,000, approximately 50,000. The Army, the numbers are really arguable, so we have to be careful, and it's been way underestimated in the past to make it look even more inevitable. It was about 50,000, including the garrison from Richmond, and we'll talk about those in just a moment, the City Defense Force. Under Major General Ewell, Dick Ewell. They get there. So they had to disperse the army to try to find food. So everybody had to be sent out with every kind of carriage, every kind of wagon imaginable, everybody on horseback to try to get out into the countryside and bring food back for the army. So that cost them a day. Meanwhile, Grant's forces, he's pushing them really hard, like he pushed his men. And the strategy that worked on the retreat was he was able to get Sheridan and a large cavalry force to the south and outpaced the Confederate infantry and eventually got to the west of them to block their escape route. Now, we'll talk more about
that. So they knew where they were going.
Oh, yeah. And we'll talk more about that next week when we actually do Appomattox Courthouse.
Yeah.
So at Sailor's Creek, April 6th, 1865, so the Confederate Army has been on the move from Richmond and Petersburg for four full days. Lots of times they're marching at night. Guys are falling out. It's hard to say exactly how many, but men are leaving the army in droves because they know that this is the beginning, the absolute beginning of the end. And who wants to be the last guy to die for the Confederacy? Who wants to be that guy? Nobody. And a lot of people are from Virginia. Some of the Virginia units are really starting to dwindle because they're saying this is it. So they wander off into the woods, you know, bust up their muskets up against a tree and try to get home and try to make it home alive. So the army's dwindling. The cavalry is after them, which is one of the things they always feared. And as they march, and because the men are very weary, those march columns get attenuated. Those march columns stretch out. And, of course, it's very difficult to protect the wagon trains on the retreat. So there are all kinds of attacks on this long line marching by a number of different retreat routes, a number of federal cavalry attacks, and wagon trains get captured and burned. Part of the army, little bits and pieces get gobbled up. But here's the last really big battle. And what happened was it's a few miles to the east of Farmville. They're trying to get into Farmville. And I mentioned this a bit earlier, the Richmond Defense Force, which was comprised of some really interesting units. They had scuttled the James River flotilla, and they took all the sailors and the Marines, and they handed them muskets, which is not what they had anticipated, and turned them into a naval battalion. So there's a naval battalion with Ewell. There's an entire brigade of heavy artillerymen who had been manning the big guns in the Richmond defenses in the forts. All of a sudden, those guys are shouldering muskets. So Ewell has with him this real polyglot force, second-class reservists, so men who really never thought that they were going to be out in the field marching and fighting. And by a complete accident, this division, this corps, rather, under Ewell, about 5,000 men, gets isolated in the rear and fights this battle at Sailor's Creek. Now, it's really three battles. Ewell's fight is the one in the middle. They're on a ridge overlooking Little Sailor's Creek. There was a fight to the north of them where the corps under Gordon was attacked, and there was a fight to the south of them. In all of these fights, they started off with initial infantry assaults. Against Ewell, it's kind of interesting. They held these guys, a lot of these guys, the naval battalion, the artillerymen who were fighting as infantry, the second-class reservists, had never been in a fight before. And sometimes guys who had never been in a battlefield fight actually fight harder because they don't know that they're getting the stuffing kicked out of them. They're not smart enough to realize because they don't have any experience.
Yeah.
Veterans oftentimes won't fight as hard because they realize it's over. They see the signs all around them. Well, the infantry, the federal infantry, went down into the river bottom, came up this ridge, and these guys with no experience fired into them point blank and then charged them and actually drove them back down the ridge. But this is probably, you know, the last hurrah for these guys. The cavalry gets thrown in. And most of this force gets gobbled up in this one day at Sailor's Creek between Gordon, between Ewell's men, and between Anderson's division that was to the southwest of Ewell. 7,000 Confederates are killed, wounded, and captured. Most of those captured along with a number of generals, including Dick Ewell himself. So here they capture a major general in the field which is really unusual to happen in the Civil War.
Yeah.
At the very end of this fight, Lee sees it from a great distance, and he rides forward a little bit and comments to one of the major generals who's on horseback alongside him, "My God, has the army dissolved?" The reason this is on my list is at this point, say Lee had by this point 40,000 men, 7,000 killed, wounded, and captured in one action on one day. You would have to say that this is one of the top two or three reasons, the loss at Sailor's Creek, this horrible loss, that Robert E. Lee surrendered only 3 days later at Appomattox Courthouse.
So this battle really contributed to Appomattox.
It's a huge contribution because Robert E. Lee realizes that the guys are really weary. They're not fighting like they used to.
Yeah.
And he loses a huge chunk of his army.
How tragic can that be?
In one day.
That these troops died just days away from surrendering.
Absolutely.
You know, it's
Absolutely.
Just amazing. So next week, it comes to an end.
It does.
Appomattox. Rick Britton, he's online at rickbritton.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.